Good evening, it is 5 p.m. on Thursday, June 18th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Coming up in today's episode, some updates from Tuesday's City Council meeting, as well as some messages directly from the City of Kingston this week. We'll also run through your weather and traffic report for this upcoming weekend, and a few events to keep on your radar from CFRC's events and concerts calendars. Without further delay, let's dive in. At their Tuesday meeting, Council approved $500,000 to support shelter operations at the Integrated Care Hub and Future Heart Hub through March of next year. Council also approved up to $70,000 to help cover lease and facility costs associated with the closure of consumption and treatment services at 661 Montreal Street. The CTS program is set to close on September 30th as provincial funding comes to an end. In the same meeting, Council also received an update on the city's multi-part response to the closure, first approved in May. As part of that update, staff reported that closure of CTS is not expected to affect the 24 low-barrier shelter beds funded by the city currently operating at the ICH. Those beds will continue under the Future Heart Hub model, supported by the funding approved Tuesday. Council also heard the results of a legal assessment examining whether the CTS closure warranted a municipal emergency declaration. Staff concluded that an emergency declaration would be unlikely to improve the situation or secure additional provincial or federal support, and therefore is not recommended. One area that drew debate involved a planned $350,000 pilot project fund intended to support new community-led approaches to reducing harm and addressing service gaps left by the CTS closure. Councillor Jeff McLaren introduced an amendment aimed at broadening the framework staff are developing for the fund. McLaren argued the current direction risks becoming too restrictive and proposed a set of guiding principles: servant not gatekeeper, benefit of the doubt, prototype and pivot not plan and execute, direct engagement, and speed in enabling support.
What's important here is that we try something different, because what we've been trying so far seems to be making the situation worse. The plan that was described in the report under Direction 4, I believe, has pivoted away in a detrimental direction to the original intent and the actual help that these groups are providing to people in the city right now. And so what I'm asking is, please open your minds to a new way of doing things that has worked in other places.
Councillor Wendy Steven opposed the amendment, saying Council still has a responsibility to ensure public funds are spent with appropriate oversight and accountability.
We just had a very lengthy discussion about fiscal accountability and transparency. And when I look at this, what I'm seeing is giving money, public money, to groups with no strings attached. That's what I'm hearing. And if that's private money, great, go for it. I'm not okay using public money in that way, so I can't support this amendment.
Staff told Council that while the proposed principles aligned with the spirit of the program, formally embedding them could create challenges when it comes to administering and evaluating applications.
I think one of the challenges that we would have in trying to understand these guidelines, Councillor, is that the scale and scope of their application is unclear. And if I may, just very quickly, the servant, not gatekeeper, asks us to set aside issues of compliance, but it is nonspecific in what areas where compliance would be set aside. Is this compliance on safety? Is it compliance on medical training? Is it compliance on park permits? It is tremendously unclear to staff, and staff would be in a hard position to understand the limits of that guideline. Benefit of the doubt opens questions of how would we evaluate any applications if we are to provide benefit of the doubt to anyone in their presentation. Prototype, pivot, plan, execute really asks questions about liability and financial exposure. I know this could be small dollar amounts, but there is $350,000, and depending on who applies, we've set no limit. An individual organization could receive over $100,000 in financial support, and we would have no guidelines around that. And then direct engagement in place in pre-award adjudication. Again, council's initial motion asked us to consult with experts and those with expertise in these areas. And I think that this would again be another guideline or parameter that would be challenging for staff to understand.
Councillors Gary Osterhoff and Connie Glenn expressed support for the amendment, arguing it could improve the chances of attracting innovative proposals.
Sometimes regulatory controls are cramping. You know, we demand this and that, and we don't want to smother the good work that can be done, and maybe we need to look at new ideas. So I wrote down, listen better, ask how we can help, provide administrative support, come alongside is what I'm reading from this. And I think that, I don't think it's asking to be irresponsible with funds. That's not it at all. I think it's just maybe we need to have a fresh look so that we allow others to be the very best that they can be at what they're really good at.
If we are going to try and innovate and bring new solutions forward, we are going to have to find some way to be more flexible in how we look at things and to give consideration for new ways of doing things. I think the intent of the original motion was to open the door to new groups, not just the same groups, so that potentially we could make some greater headway with the challenges in front of us.
Ultimately, the amendment was defeated in a 9-4 vote. Even so, staff emphasized that their intention remains to encourage applications from new groups and organizations, not just established service providers.
Staff have always understood that direction. The original motion was clear that this was for new groups, bringing new and innovative ideas. The use of expertise was only as directed by council in the motion to seek support in the review of those submissions and the development of those criteria for consideration. So yes, staff have always understood and would continue to understand the intent of council here to support new and innovative opportunities. And again, the program as currently being structured is set up to mirror the Fines for Foods process, which also was trying to draw new groups forward to be able to support food security and sustainable food systems within Kingston. So a very similar model, but understood, Councillor, in context today as it was when originally issued by Council.
Staff say the pilot project framework is still being developed with a call for submissions expected later this summer. The goal is to have funding awarded by mid-September ahead of the CTS closure at the end of the month. Once again, that was the latest from City Council. Before we get into more local news, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week. Starting with your traffic report for this evening, in ongoing construction, drivers can expect delays at the intersection of Montreal Street and John Counter Boulevard, where road repairs, landscaping, and line painting continue through the spring. Expect delays on Johnson Street between University Avenue and Aberdeen through July 30th, as crews complete storm sewer improvements. Motorists on Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue may encounter delays as the city installs new pedestrian crossing signals. King Street West between Country Club Drive and Front Road remains reduced to one lane in each direction, as Utilities Kingston installs new water and sanitary mains. Drivers should continue to expect delays on Taylor Kidd Boulevard between Coronation Boulevard and Collins Bay Road for paving and road improvement work. Motorists in the St. Lawrence Business Park area should expect nightly closures on Innovation Drive between Highway 15 and Matchin Park Lane from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. for paving operations. In closures, Princess Street between Frontenac and Division remains closed for the city's major reconstruction project, which includes utility upgrades and improvements for pedestrians and cyclists. Berry Street near Queen Street remains closed for construction activity related to 283 Queen, while Aberdeen Street between Johnson and William is closed for construction staging. John Street between Montreal Street and Beggett Street remains closed through July 30th. Wright Crescent between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent remains closed for roadway repairs and pedestrian safety improvements. Sydenham Street between Princess and Queen remains closed to through traffic as part of the Sydenham Street Community Space Project, though local parking remains available. Norman Rogers Drive between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Van Order Drive is closed to through traffic for road rehabilitation and safety improvements. Cranbrook Street between Days Road and Lakeview Avenue continues weekday school street closures from 8:40 to 9:20 a.m. and 3:20 to 3:50 p.m. for Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic School. And looking ahead to event closures this weekend, Concession Street between Nelson and Alfred Streets will be closed the morning of July 20th for the annual Kids Duathlon, while Princess Street between Barry and Baggett Streets will close June 20th for the Princess Street Promenade. Ontario Street between Brock and Clarence Streets will close June 21st for the city's National Indigenous Peoples Day celebrations. Taking a look at the forecast for tonight and heading into the weekend, we'll stay under cloudy skies this evening with a 60% chance of showers early on and a risk of thunderstorm. Winds remain strong out of the southwest at 40 kilometers per hour, gusting to 70, before easing to west winds at 20 kilometers an hour with gusts up to 40 later tonight. The overnight low drops to 14 degrees. Friday starts off on a brighter note, becoming a mix of sun and cloud in the morning. There's a 40% chance of showers returning late in the afternoon, with west winds at 30 kilometers an hour gusting to 50. The high reaches 23 degrees, feeling more like 26 with the humidex. The UV index is 8 or very high. Friday night remains cloudy with a 40% chance of showers during the evening and a low of 15. Saturday brings a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 23 degrees. Clouds stick around overnight with a low of 13. And finally for Sunday, we'll see a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 24. Sunday night turns increasingly cloudy with temperatures dipping to 13. This has been your quick Kingston Currents traffic and weather reports. Now back to more local news. Diving back into some updates directly from the city of Kingston. The city is also highlighting recent accessibility improvements now available at several municipal facilities. In a release issued this week, the city announced that new assistive listening systems have been installed at City Hall, the Invista Center, and the Artillery Park Aquatic Center. The systems were launched as part of the city's ongoing efforts to make municipal services more accessible for residents and visitors who are deaf, hard of hearing, or who may benefit from amplified sound. According to the city, the technology provides clear, personalized audio that can help users better understand staff and access services. The systems are designed to work with a variety of hearing technologies. People using hearing aids or cochlear implants equipped with telecoil or T-coil can connect directly by switching their device to the appropriate setting. The systems also support AuraCast-enabled Bluetooth hearing devices, allowing users to receive audio wirelessly. For visitors who do not use hearing devices, handheld listening units are also available upon request and can provide amplified speech directly to the user. In the release, Deputy City Clerk Derek Ocek said, quote, "The introduction of assistive listening systems reflects our commitment to reducing barriers and improving access to city services. Accessibility is essential to customer service," end quote. The city says the systems are intended to help improve communication and ensure more residents can access municipal services independently and comfortably. This announcement coincided with National Accessibility Week, which recognizes the contributions of people with disabilities and promotes efforts to remove barriers in communities across Canada. City officials say the new systems represent another step in Kingston's broader accessibility and inclusion efforts. And with summer just around the corner, the City of Kingston is encouraging residents to get outside, get active, and make the most of the community spaces and programs available across the city. In a new release, the city is recognizing June as Recreation and Parks Month, a province-wide initiative that celebrates the role parks, recreation programs, and community spaces play in supporting healthy, active, and connected communities. City officials say the month is an opportunity for residents to explore parks, trails, recreation facilities, community programs, and outdoor events while taking advantage of the warmer weather. In the release, Tony Gargaro, Manager of Recreation and Leisure Services with the City of Kingston, said, quote, "June is a great time to get outside and take advantage of everything Kingston has to offer," end quote. Gargaro also added that whether residents are spending time in a local park, participating in a fitness program, or attending a community event, there are opportunities for people of all ages to stay active, connect with others, and enjoy the season. The city is highlighting a number of events and activities taking place throughout June. That includes regular visits to the Kingston Public Market in Springer Market Square and the Memorial Center Farmers Market, both of which continue to draw residents and visitors looking to shop local and spend time outdoors. The city is also encouraging residents to check out the annual Skeleton Park Arts Festival, which runs from June 19th through the 21st and features live music, arts program, and community activities. Be sure to tune in to Kingston Curator on Friday for more on that from CFRC. Families may also be interested in the K-Town Kids Run Bike Run event taking place on June 20th. While June 21st will see celebrations for National Indigenous Peoples Day, hosted by the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest in Confederation Park. Beyond special events, the city is reminding residents that they can take advantage of drop-in recreation opportunities throughout the month, including swimming, fitness classes, and organized sports programs. Kingston is also home to more than 200 parks and green spaces, offering opportunities to walk, bike, roll, play, cool off at splash pads, or simply spend time outdoors. The city notes that Recreation and Parks Month is recognized by Parks and Recreation Ontario, which promotes the health, social, environmental, and community benefits that Parks and Recreation services provide. The release also includes a reminder for residents who participate in city recreation programs. Officials say recreation accounts that have not yet verified a Kingston address are now subject to a 15% surcharge on recreation programming and may experience a 72-hour delay when registering for certain programs, including swimming lessons. Residents are being encouraged to verify their address through the city to ensure they continue receiving resident rates and registration privileges. The city says information on programs, facilities, registration, and upcoming events can be found through its Recreation Services website. With Kingston's 2026 municipal election now just a few months away, the city is looking for some local creativity to help celebrate democracy. In a release issued this week, the City of Kingston announced the launch of its 2026 Election Sticker Design Contest, inviting residents to create the official I Voted and Future Voter stickers that will be handed out during this fall's municipal election. The winning designs will be distributed at voting locations during advance voting on October 16th and 17th, as well as on Election Day, October 26th. City officials say the contest is intended to promote civic pride, encourage community engagement, and build excitement around participating in local democracy. Two contest categories are available this year. The first is an I Voted sticker category open to all Kingston residents. The second is a future voter category specifically for youth age 17 and under, with parent or guardian consent required for participants. The city says all submissions must be original designs that include the exact wording I voted or future voter depending on the category being entered. Designs must also fit within the city's official sticker template and comply with contest guidelines. According to the release, entries cannot contain political messaging, copyrighted images, corporate logos, offensive content, or AI-generated artwork. The city says the goal is to create designs that celebrate voting and civic participation while remaining nonpartisan and accessible to all residents. Submissions are being accepted now through July 3rd at 4 p.m. Once submission period closes, city staff will review all entries and create a shortlist of finalists. The public will then have the opportunity to vote online and help choose the winning designs. Those winning stickers will be professionally printed and handed out at voting locations throughout the election period. In addition to seeing their work distributed across the city, winners will also receive a sheet of printed stickers as a keepsake. Residents interested in participating can download the official contest template, review the contest rules, and submit their designs through the city's election engagement website. Paper submissions will also be accepted at City Hall's Elections Office, City Recreation Facilities, and branches of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. The city says it hopes the contest will help residents engage with the upcoming municipal election while showcasing local creativity and community spirit. The city is encouraging residents and visitors to come together later this month to celebrate National Indigenous Peoples Day. In a release issued this week, the city announced details of the annual community celebration being hosted by the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest on June 21st at Confederation Park in downtown Kingston. The event will run from 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. and is free to attend. National Indigenous Peoples Day is observed across Canada each year on June 21st and is intended as an opportunity to recognize and celebrate the cultures, histories, and languages and contributions of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. The city says the day is also an opportunity for learning, reflection, and community building as residents continue conversations around understanding and reconciliation. According to the release, this year's celebration will feature an afternoon of cultural performances, community activities, workshops, food, storytelling, and opportunities to connect with Indigenous organizations and community members. Brandon Miracle, executive director of the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest, said, quote, June 21st is more than just an event. It's a meaningful gathering where people come together to encourage one another and celebrate the rich stories, cultures, and languages and communities that shape who we are, end quote. Throughout the afternoon, attendees can take part in drumming, singing, dancing, story sharing, and cultural learning activities. Organizers say there will also be hands-on workshops and interactive experiences designed for all ages. One of the central elements of the event will be a sacred fire, offering opportunities for reflection, prayer, and connection throughout the day. Visitors will also find community information booths featuring cultural teachings, demonstrations, and opportunities to engage with local organizations. Families attending the celebration can take advantage of a dedicated kids zone, which will include an inflatable corn maze, face painting provided by Oshke Face Painting, and other family-friendly activities. The event also features Indigenous artisans and vendors selling handcrafted goods, artwork, and traditional crafts. A variety of food options will also be available on site. Organizers say there will be giveaways and additional opportunities for community connection throughout the afternoon. In the release, Amber Bryan Peller, the City of Kingston's Manager of Indigenous Initiatives, said, quote, National Indigenous Peoples Day is an invitation for people to experience and celebrate Indigenous cultures, deepen understanding, and build meaningful connections within community, end quote. Brian Peller added that the city is grateful to the Kingston Native Center and Language Nest for leading the event and creating a space where Indigenous traditions can be shared and honored. Once again, the celebration takes place Sunday, June 21st from 1 until 6 p.m. at Confederation Park across from City Hall. Additional information about the event is available through the City of Kingston's events calendar. Once again, those were some of the latest messages directly from the City of Kingston. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your weekend forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. One of the biggest events this weekend is Skeleton Park Arts Festival, taking over McBurney Park on Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m., featuring live music, art, food, and community programming throughout the weekend. You'll also catch CFRC there, so be sure to drop by our community booth. If you're looking to get out after tonight's show, you can head right over for music trivia at Something in the Water at 7 p.m. or a trivia at Riverhead, also at 7 p.m. You can also head to Springer Market Square tonight for a screening of But I'm a Cheerleader at 8:15 p.m. If you don't want the night to end there, there's karaoke at Jersey's starting at 8:30 p.m., as well as at The Buckle starting at 9 p.m. Tomorrow night features the SPAF Walks of Life open mic at Next Church at 7 p.m., a performance of Very Heaven at the Domino Theater at 7:30 p.m., plus karaoke at both The Buckle and Deft Brewing starting at 9 p.m. Saturday is packed with events including the Princess Street Promenade downtown from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Montreal Street Vintage Market from 10 until 5, and the Friends of Mac Johnson Spring Tree Sale from 9 until noon. The Mike McPherson Memorial Music Fundraiser runs at Deft Brewing from 2 until 7 p.m. And the evening wraps up with the Trans Family Queer Prom at the Ambassador Event Center starting at 7 p.m. On Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m., while National Indigenous Peoples Day celebrations take place at Confederation Park from 1 until 6, before another evening of live entertainment and community events across the city. This includes karaoke at both the Merchant and the Toucan starting at 9 p.m. That wraps up your quick weekend forecast. Once again, that was just some of the events Kingston has to offer this weekend. Be sure to head to cfrc.ca for our full events and concerts listings. If you have an event or concert you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.